Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, it's a new year, and often in a new year we think about new things. We just had a discussion then, what's coming up in your year that you're excited about. Maybe it's something new. But what does it mean to lay hold of God every day? For every day to actually be a new day of receiving from God something of his mercy and something of his love. And different ones of us have had different Christian experiences. Maybe it was a time in church. Maybe it was a Christian conference. Maybe it was an experience with God that we had somewhere or another. And that was a really powerful thing. And that shaped who we are today. But we can encounter God every day. Every single day we can receive something of his mercy and love. That's what it says here. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. They're not just there every morning, but they're new every morning. His compassion's new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So don't miss a morning. Because if you miss yesterday, what you get tomorrow morning will be different. Tomorrow's blessing is tomorrow's blessing, and if you miss it, then you've missed tomorrow's blessing. You can't make it up on Tuesday. It's every day. Every day God is there to be encountered. I like sunrises. I'm not always up in time to watch them, but I do like a good sunrise. And I take some pictures of sunrises. My friend takes a picture of a sunrise every day. She's been doing it for 10 years. Every day she's out there with her professional photography gear and a backpack. She goes down to the beach and she takes a photo of the sunrise, posts it on her Facebook page. And if you have a child that's been born on a particular day in a particular year, she can find the sunrise for that child on that day, and she'll frame it, and you know, you can give it to your kid as a birthday present or something. But she's always out there. And when I think about sunrises, they all are so different. It's interesting, you think, well, the best sunrises, you know, they're the ones with the magnificent colours and, you know, the bright sun and the reflection. Sandy manages to see beauty when you can't see the sun. When the sun's stuck behind a grey, miserable sky as it was in the first week of January. And she'll find something going on in a rock pool, or something going on in what the clouds are doing. So even when God's love appears to be shadowed over by a lot of other stuff that's happening in our life, by clouds and by troubles and by hardship, God is still there, he's still shining, and his power is still at work, and his beauty is there still to behold. Like we sang earlier, may I never lose the wonder of beholding God every day, every day. His faithfulness is there to receive. Lamentations, lament, that's what this whole book is. It's a lament. And you think, well, I've got these lovely verses, they don't sound very lamenting. Well, that's about the only lovely verses in this whole book. The rest is pretty woeful. I don't mean it's not inspired by God. I just mean it's pretty hard going. If you go back a couple of chapters, let's look at chapter 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she who was once great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among her lovers there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. What's going on? Well, this is all written in about 550 BC in 550 BC, or in the 580s, the people of Israel had been taken out of their homeland, out of this great land of promise, this land that God promised to them through Abraham, a land that would be flowing with milk and honey, where they would live in safety and security and know God. They were taken out of there by the Babylonians and sent into captivity in a faraway place. Modern day Iraq, that's where they are. They've either been killed, or those who've survived have been taken captive into Babylon. This is God's people. This is the people God promised, that you'll live in this land and you'll have a good time and you'll know me and you'll love me and you'll love one another and everything will be a blessing. This is those people have been taken into captivity. And Jerusalem, which was the city, the capital city where they worship God, that's just been made a heap of rubble. And so there's weeping over the city. In fact, the book wasn't called Lamentations in the beginning. You know what the book was called? It was called How. That first word here. How deserted lies the city. So the book was called How. And it was like this. Ah, how. That's the equivalent of the Hebrew. Ah, how. That's the name of the book. And if it was set to music, you'd probably set it to blues or maybe goth metal. So this is a dirge. Yeah, that's another word for it. Discordant, there wouldn't be any, like, as a musician, you know, it's nice when things sort of resolve back to the root note. Ah, I feel happy with that music. But music that is jarring, that is discordant, that is unpleasant, that's the kind of music that would have been set to this passage. And also, a number of the psalms. There's 150 psalms. Only about 50 of them are happy. About 100 of them are more like this. Like, life's really bad right now. And the people, they're saying, we don't like being here in captivity in Babylon. And what idiots we are, really, because if we had it done what God said, which was love me with your whole heart and soul, don't serve the Baals, don't oppress the poor and the widow and the orphan, don't rip people off. If they had have done what God said, they would have been able to stay in the land. That it's because of their sin that God allowed their enemy to overtake them and take them into exile. Tough. I don't mean tough. I mean, it was really tough. But God didn't do it in a hurry. He waited about 900 years. 900 years of, yes, we love God. No, we don't love God. Yes, we do. No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't. And it went on like that, generation after generation, to the point where God said, I've warned you. Enough's enough. This is ridiculous. I brought you out of Egypt. I poured out my love on you. I rescued you from slavery. I gave you this land. I entered into a covenant of love with you. I've given you so much and more, and you've rejected me. So I am removing my presence from you. And when God removes his presence, it allows God's people's enemies to come over them and take them into captivity. It's his rod of discipline against them. And so that's the context in which the person who's written Lamentations, who we assume is Jeremiah, that's the context in which he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Even though we're here in exile, we're still here. We're still alive. We're still loving God. And he looks around. He sees kids playing with each other. He sees men loving women, women loving men, children loving parents, parents loving children, people all still loving God. And goes, hey, we're not consumed. We're actually still here. And 70 years later, they came out of exile and they went back into the promised land. And they waited another 400 years and then Jesus came. And Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that they were hoping for. And so he reminds himself. Let's have a look at the word remember in verse 19 and verse 20 and 21. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. And on it goes. I'm turning an age over 50 this year. I will have been married 30 years this year. I've been loving the Lord for over 30 years. In that time, sometimes things are going really well and sometimes things have been really difficult. I've seen things happen to people that I love that have been really difficult. I've seen things happen that I don't understand. I've prayed things that I haven't seen the answer for yet. Life's been up and down. I can tell you now, if my faith was based on things turning out the way I want them, I wouldn't be a Christian now. If my faith was based on feeling happy about what I saw God doing all the time, I wouldn't be a Christian now. If my faith was based on understanding everything that was going on, I wouldn't be a Christian now. If my faith was based on Christians behaving like they should and treating each other like they should, I wouldn't be a Christian now. I've had many reasons to toss Christianity in. And people do. People get to 23, 24, 25 years of age. It hasn't quite worked out how they thought it might, and they don't go on with God. And we've got to move from placing our faith in what we imagine is God's blessings. We've got to move from that into placing our faith in God himself, in the person of God. Not in what we think God should do or what we expect he was going to do. Because we will end up being what we feel let down. We'll feel let down and disappointed by God. And I've seen it. So I'm just encouraging you that come what may, whatever you see or experience, that God's character cannot change. It actually says in, let me get the passage, I knew I had notes here for a reason, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Even though we are faithless, God remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. So God cannot change his character. You know, we say nothing's impossible with God. Well, there's some things even God can't do. There's some things even God can't do. He cannot change himself. He cannot change the fact that he is faithful, and he cannot change the fact that he loves you. He cannot stop loving you. He cannot stop being faithful to you in every circumstance. He cannot stop. He cannot disown himself. He cannot stop turning up at your house every day. He cannot stop living inside you by his Spirit. He loves being committed to you. And even though we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's a great verse. Did you get it? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Even though we are faithless, he remains faithful. Do you like things full? I like things full. I got a coffee the other day. It was in a... I get confused. Was it in a regular cup or was it in a small cup? Some shops call their cups regular and some call them small, and they're all the same size. I don't understand. But anyway, this was a small coffee in a regular cup, and I was disappointed. It was not full of coffee. The coffee cup must be full of coffee. And so I get two-thirds down what I think is the size of coffee that I'm going to have, and it's gone. That is not a coffee full cup. That is a disappointing cup. And this is a very bad analogy right now. But it's one that means a lot to me personally. Because God is not half full, two-thirds full. That's us. We are faithless. We are less than full. We are faithless. God is faithful. This is making sense now, isn't it? He's faithful. And even though we are faithless, look, have you had anyone in your life who's been faithless to you? And what do? We do, you know, the human thing, we walk away from that person because we can't trust them. If God walked away from us because we're faithless, God wouldn't be with any one of us, because all of us, at, you know, one time or another, aren't full on for God, but God stays committed to us. This is fantastic. That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is sticking with someone, come what may. God sticks with us, come what may. And there's not a single day in your life that God is not there for you. Now, like my friend Sandy, who wakes up in the morning, it's, what's the word, pouring down rain?
Mm-hmm.
Pouring down rain. And the clouds, it's dark, it's miserable, it's cold, and that's just summer. Imagine winter, and you've got to go out and take photos because people are expecting to see a photo from Sandy in their inbox. And she gets up and she goes, come what may. Can we commit in 2016? Now, we won't do it perfectly, but can we ask God to help us that every day we might lay hold of him? Even if we don't feel like it, even if he didn't answer our prayers the way we thought he should, but if we can commit to God, then we will prove his faithfulness in our life. And when we do that, we can be that kind of person to other people. But through you, God can make known his compassion and his love to them. You know, just yesterday, I'm walking along the beach. Kathy and I had a lovely time. She's easy to be faithful to. She's wonderful. But we're having our little nibbles on the beach moment. We're just about to go back to the car. And this guy caught my eye. I don't know why. He's full of tattoos. He's got his skateboard. He's just sitting on his own about 20 metres away. Kathy had gone on the car and I just walked over to him. I said, hi. I said, cool skateboard. I said, can I have a look? And I turned it over and I said, I saw you riding before. I love the way you can sort of turn it. Like that. That's cool. And he started explaining how the trucks are positioned and how it does that. And I said, can I have a go? And he said, yeah. And I've got his skateboard, and then I'm going along the path. and I thought, oh, I better go back now. So I went back, gave him a big smile and kept going straight past him. Then I came back again. I said, thanks so much. And he's beaming at this point. He thinks this is the coolest thing that a perfect stranger has come along and asked to use his skateboard. I said, Ian's my name. And he said, Beto is what he said his name was. And I said, oh, cool. Do you live in Manly? He said, I've been here a couple of months. I said, anyway, I won't give you the whole conversation. But one thing he said? He said, I'm looking to make friends. I'm looking to make friends. And I made a friend. I made a friend of Beto. I said, look, Beto, this is a long shot, but do you know Eduardo? He said, yes, I do. He works at, what do you call it? Pacino. I said, he's my friend. He said, he's a nice guy. I said, yeah, and his wife, Niana. He said, yeah, I know them. He said, I work at Blue Water. So that was really fun. So I'm going to see Beth Orgain. But look, there's plenty of people, they just, this love, this constant love and mercy. And he's not going to put signs in the sky saying, I love everybody. He's going to use you and I to make his love and his faithfulness known. I've spoken for long enough. I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's not sure that God loves them. Maybe things haven't worked out the way they thought they should. Maybe there's some people here who are disappointed with God, who feel maybe that God's let them down in some way. God, I pray that you would reach into every heart here tonight and that you would wrap each heart in the healing power of God, that you would heal those hurts and you would say to each one of us that I love you and my love is not dependent on those either good or crappy circumstances, that I love you because I love you and I love you every day. There's not a single day where I don't think about you, where I'm not there for you, where my love is not wanting to be shed abroad in your heart. As surely as the sun rises, I am there for you. I am with you always, always. And I pray, Lord, for us this year, that every day we would lay hold of you, lay hold of your love, lay hold of your mercy. Even when we look around and we can't understand or work out what's happening, that we just say, God is my portion, he's my delight, he's my friend, he's my father, he's with me always. And just use that as our starting point for everything. And Lord, for those that you bring into our life who don't know this love, I pray, God, you would give us eyes to see who they are and give us the courage to stand by them and to show how great you are, how great is your faithfulness.